First, I want to start off and thank Brother Floyd and Brother Cody for filling in for me last week as I was at CYC. And I do also want to thank Jason and Missy Givens and Michael and Monique Feast as they kind of help with our youth and our young folks. And they did such a wonderful job in coordinating that and all the things that went into that and feeding our kids and feeding us. And I also want to encourage you as well, if you've never been to the Challenge Youth Conference, when you have 7,000 young adults sitting together singing the Lord's praises, brethren, I don't know if it gets any better than that. There was 14,000 people there this weekend in the Smokies for the Challenge Youth Conference, and they had to break it up into two sections because there wasn't enough room to put 14,000 in that one particular area. But if you haven't had a chance to go, as far as our young folks and parents, and if you want to go and be encouraged, to know that there are other Christians around the world that come together like that one time a year that sing praises and worship together and enjoy fellowship, I certainly encourage you to do that as well. And I also want to thank Paul and Brenda for the great job they did with us, and Ken and Tammy in helping out with that, and just such a great time, such an encouragement, and do want to encourage you to do that as well. One of the blessings that we enjoy as Christians is being able to help each other through difficult times. In times of physical despair, in times of spiritual despair, the Bible tells us that we can lean upon each other. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 15. He even speaks of this in Galatians 6 and verse 2, because when we do that, we're fulfilling the commandment of following the Word of God. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We understand the importance of what it means to be spiritually bonded together, that we can lean upon each other. Sometimes there are those who are strong who are able to support the weak, and there are those who are spiritual who will help individuals overcome a fault or a spiritual temptation that Paul talks about in Galatians 6 and verse 1. So we understand the importance of that, but at the same time, we also have a responsibility in and of ourselves as Christians to also grow and become strong. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5 and what Paul's talking about there. He's talking about responsibilities. As you look in the Greek, the word is different from helping a brother who's overcome in a fault, who needs support in lifting that brother up and bearing the load. But Paul talks about in the latter part of Galatians 6, there comes a time when you have responsibilities as a Christian that you have to take action for your own responsibilities. There comes a time where you have to grow as a Christian. When we're born into this world, we're born and considered altricial. That is, as newborn babes, we have to be taken care of for a time. So we have to be taught how to walk and dress ourselves and properly bathe ourselves and feed ourselves. And all these things we have to be taught as we're growing. Animals are the same way. Some animals are altricial. They have to be taken care of for a certain amount of time. But some animals are born precocial. That is, as soon as they're born, they're able to walk. They're able to begin to feed themselves just because of the nature and the way that God designed them. But brethren, we're altricial. We have to be taken care of when we become Christians, as we're newborn babes in Christ, as we desire the sincere milk of the Word, as Peter talks about in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. We grow as we become Christians, but the problem many times is, brethren, is too many people stop growing. And they want to depend on other people to teach them and force them almost to the point of being Christians. That is, they have to be prodded to serve the Lord. They have to be encouraged constantly to attend service or to be faithful or to follow the Word of God. But the question I want to ask you today is this. Are you high maintenance? Now, we all know what high maintenance is, don't we? Maybe we're thinking about a car, right? For us to understand high maintenance, we need to think about the definition first of what high maintenance is. We think about perhaps a car that we have that requires a lot of time and a lot of attention. Maybe every time you get home from driving your car, you have to drop a quart of oil in it. Maybe you're pushing that car to its limit because you don't want to have to pay another car payment. Because that car has become high maintenance, you've almost become tied to it. You constantly have to pay attention to that. Or maybe, as we're used to hearing, maybe we have a spouse who's high maintenance, right? Or a girlfriend or a boyfriend, someone who requires constant attention, or maybe she wants to be taken out to dinner all the time or to a movie, or maybe he requires a lot of toys because he still hasn't grown up past the age of 40. When we think about the idea of high maintenance, we understand the definition in relation to the secular world. But what about the spiritual world? Can I become high maintenance as a Christian? When we think about the definition, as used obviously in the religious world today as it applies to Christians, Christians are high maintenance if they require a lot of attention to remain faithful. That is, do you have to be poked to be a Christian? You see, brethren, what that shows is a lack of spiritual maturity if we have to be prodded to follow the Lord. If we have to be told constantly, sometimes as we as parents tell our children, tell them the same thing over and over to where we get tired of repeating ourselves. Do you think God ever gets to the point where He's tired of repeating Himself? He got to that point with the children of Israel as He sent them into captivity several times, didn't He? How many times did He say, I've told you over and over again, yet you continue to do the same thing? You tell me you're going to change, you tell me you're going to follow me and be faithful, yet you continue to be high maintenance and I constantly have to tell you what you need to do to be my children. Yet all the blessings are contained therein, but I have to constantly tell you what you need to do. But let me preface this before we get into that. Sometimes it's okay to be high maintenance as a Christian. Because as we're born into Christ and we become new children within the body of Christ, where we're walked to raise a newness of life because we put on the new man and we put away the old man, we have to be taught sometimes how we are to walk as new babes in Christ. That's the altricial Christian, the one who needs to be taught, that desires the sincere milk of the Word, that wants to continue to grow. But the problem that we have in the Lord's church today, brethren, is we have those Christians who are caught up in the Peter Pan syndrome. Never grow up, never grow up, never grow up. And the problem with that is the church then doesn't grow as it ought to grow. Because what begins to happen is, within the context of that, we spend too much time keeping house instead of saving souls. Because those members who have been Christians for a very long time still have to be taught and coddled how to be Christians. Brethren, that's not the way God's Word was designed for us as we grow as Christians, because as we grow, we should want to grow and learn. In the secular world, we desire to be better in our jobs because we want to grow. We want to succeed. We want the promotion. We want the raise. Whatever the case is, but when it comes to our spiritual lives, we become content on sitting on the seat of do nothing, leaning back on the elbows of do less. And when we do that, we don't grow as Christians ought to grow, and we get stuck in the cycle of being Peter Pans and that we don't want to ever grow up. We're content with the preacher telling us what we have to do every Sunday to encourage me, but yet Bible study is not required. It's simply something that I do occasionally. But you see, I can't grow. The Bible tells me in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the definition tells me if I'm high maintenance, then I'm not growing, and therefore I'm sinning because I'm not holding up my end of the bargain. You see, even churches can become high maintenance. You think about Paul as he writes to the church in Corinth in 1 and 2 Corinthians. He says, brethren, I can't even begin to understand why I'm having to write these things to you. They have become so caught up in the world and those things that were important. They weren't disciplining as they ought to. They weren't worshiping as they should. They were miscommunicating to each other. And Paul said, I'm having to teach you these things again because you never understood the first principles of the oracles of God, as we see in Hebrews chapter 5. And because of that, you're not growing. You see, some high maintenance is good. It's necessary in the work of the local church. But when high maintenance exists where it should not, then, brethren, it only hinders the church. Because we spend too much time having to teach those who should already know. Remember what Paul told the church of Galatia? I can't believe you're so already removed from the truth. You want to know why that was? One, they had left their first love. Two, they weren't grounded in the Scriptures. Three, they knew better. You see, so when we understand the definition of what high maintenance is, we have to ask ourselves, am I a high-maintenance Christian in the sense that it's going to hinder the Lord's work? If I'm a new babe in Christ, as I grow, we have a responsibility, brethren, to help those individuals to bear the burdens of what it means to be a new Christian because of the struggles they're going to go through, because of understanding what it means to be a Christian in today's society. There comes a point, though, when we have to grow up. You know, I told my children they got three choices when they graduate high school. You go to college and I'll help you pay for it. You go in the military, or you get a job. This laying on my couch and collecting free rent does not fly in my house. Why? Because there comes a point as an adult that you have to grow up and take care of your own responsibilities. That's not to say they don't always have a home. It's not to say they're not going to be my children, but I've raised them such to where they can take care of themselves when they become adults. Brethren, isn't that what God does to us as He cradles us in His arms, as He washes away our sins, as we put on new Christians, as we put on that new man and become new Christians? As God is taking care of us, He's also telling us at the same time, don't you want to know who I am? And don't you want to grow as a Christian and learn of me? Isn't that what Jesus said? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That is, Jesus said, learn who I am as an individual. Learn what I did for you at the cross of Calvary. Why would we not want to become more grounded in the Scriptures so that we can grow as God's children? Brethren, we spend too much time in the secular world concerning our education and not enough time concerning our spiritual education, which determines our destiny. And when we forget the importance of that, we don't grow as God wants us to grow. But here's the difficulty of high maintenance. There's areas where it can help. High maintenance is crucial, again, for newborn babes. It's that proper attention that they need because they can become overwhelmed. There's so much coming at them at once when they get back into the workplace after being baptized into Christ on Sunday, perhaps. And the ways of the world don't go away, do they? The temptations are always there. The Bible says the devil's walking around, basically looking whom he may pounce. And don't you think he's got his eyes on those new children in Christ? Because he knows you're weak. He knows you're struggling in your faith, that you're really not grounded where you need to be. Your faith is brand new, so he's ready to pounce on you at any moment. As I was talking in our Bible class this morning and strengthening the heart of a Christian, the problem is we want to convert people to baptism and not to Christ. We're not teaching them how to be fully converted to Christ that they may grow thereby and be Christians. We're simply ready to dip them in the water and send them on their way. We don't do that to our babies. We don't just send them out into the world once they're newborns, do we? No. We nurture them. We take care of them. We encourage them. We lift them up. But there then comes a point, as Paul is going to talk about in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, he says, "For when the time ought to be, you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teaches you again the first principles of the oracles of God." Paul, the Hebrew writer says, are you kidding me? All these first principles, you've already known these things, and we're having to teach you again. But he says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is still a child." Wasn't it Paul himself said, "When I was a child, I did childish things, but when I was grown, I put away the childish things"? Brethren, there comes a point where we have to understand in our Christianity, if we're not where we need to be, then we need to fix that. Because if we're not growing as God wants us to grow, it can hurt the church because it hinders the growth. You see, growth for the church comes through evangelism and edification and benevolence. But if we're spending too much time on Christians who have been Christians for a long time yet haven't grown, then it hinders the Lord's church and its work and where it needs to go, directionally speaking, concerning heaven. Because we're spending too much time on that. It holds back the efforts of the workers. Paul desired to preach Christ, who was named, Paul's desire was to preach Christ, as we read in Romans 15, to go throughout in preaching, but sometimes he was caught up because of the trivial things within the church. And it hindered the growth of the church. But when more serious needs go unmet, maybe babes in Christ are not being helped because others expect coddling, or those that are sick and dying or lost loved ones are neglected because we're spending too much time on those in the church who should be grown up. I had a lady call me one time, and this is after numerous visits and Bible studies, and one who had been baptized when she was in her early 20s, now she's in her late 40s, early 50s. And I hadn't gone to see her in a few weeks, or call her rather, or visit her, or whatever the case was. And she called me one time at the church building. She said, "Where have you been? You haven't come to see me." I said, "Last time I checked, you hadn't come to see me either." Because it works both ways. Bear one another's burdens. We have to fulfill the responsibility that God has given us, that we grow up as Christians. And when we're not feeling the desire that God wants us to have, brethren, it hurts the church. When elders are spending too much time counseling Christians who should know better, brethren, it hurts the church of them helping souls who need their help. When we spend too much time caught up in corners because individuals don't know how to help themselves, who should know how to help themselves, brethren, we hurt the work of the church. That doesn't mean we don't need help. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't ask for help. The Bible tells us to do that. But when we come to the point where we're hindering the work of the church, there are times in our spiritual lives when we all require some spiritual high maintenance. That's okay. But the point is to avoid keeping it from those who really need it, we've also got to give serious effort and thought towards it. So how do we defeat it? How do we stop being a high maintenance Christian? Simple. It's right here. There's no self-help book. Can't go to Barnes & Noble and find it in the self-help section, though maybe this is the only book that should be in the self-help section. Because this is what directs us and leads us, right? Psalm 119, 105. This is what I hide in my heart. This is what I'm supposed to rightly divide. This is what I use to grow when I have a problem. And when I can't find or fix the problem myself, this is the book that I'm supposed to go to do that. You see, we fix this through individual growth. You see, we should be to a point as Christians, once we can grow, where we don't need the high maintenance anymore. Where we can say, "Brother, I appreciate you guiding me along the steps of righteousness, but it's time for me to take off the training wheels and walk on my own. It's time for me now to grow up in Christ that I might be able to teach other people also." Do you think the Lord puts elders in the position they are concerning their qualifications if they're babes in Christ? No. He desires those who, what, have raised families, who have experience, who aren't novice in the Word of God. Why? Because then they're able to teach us also. The Bible talks of ladies being examples to the elders and teaching the younger, right? But here's what really baffles me, brethren. If I myself am a high-maintenance Christian and a babe in Christ, how am I supposed to teach my children? How am I supposed to help them grow as Christians to where when they get out in the world, they can walk as Christians ought to be walking because they're strengthened, because they've had the tools to help them grow? Consider the unfortunate case of the Hebrew Christians again in Hebrews chapter 5. Paul said, "You should know these things already. You're not growing, but through individual strength, brethren, we can certainly be helpful when we need it, and we should also reach a point where our strength comes from God." The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 28, "Strengthen me according to thy word." That's where I find it. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly, completely furnished unto every good work. Paul, what are you telling me? The word is sufficient and it's going to help me grow as I ought to grow? Exactly. My purpose has not been to discourage high maintenance when it comes and when it's rightly needed. Again, because we're to bear each other's burdens. We're to lean upon each other when we have times of trouble. We need to go to our elders when we need help and when we've fallen short or when we're struggling. I'm not saying any of those things are not a necessity or that we don't need them from time to time. But if you look over at Galatians chapter 6 and what Paul says here, concerning the point we're supposed to reach. He says in verse 4, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own," and let's just translate it from the Greek, "responsibilities." Every man should bear his own responsibilities. So there comes a point in my life where I have to take responsibility for the way I live as a Christian. Because guess what, brethren, as Paul says in Romans 12, nobody's going to answer for you on the day of judgment but you. And the strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak, but my desire this morning has been to challenge you concerning your service to Christ and where you are in your spiritual lives. This month, our focus is on the Word of God. If you look in your workbook, and those of you who are visiting, we have a workbook that we put out for our members. And each month we focus on a specific topic. And this month we're focusing on the Word of God. The challenge this morning is concerning our growth is to go to the Word of God and evaluate ourselves as Christians. Because this is the best measuring tool you have. This is your measuring stick. This tells you exactly where you are in Christ. And if you don't measure up to where you should be, you know, I always think, I'm not one on amusement parks, but I always think when you go to amusement parks and then have to stand up next to that stick, I never had a problem with that. But I remember seeing the little kids and boy, they're just stretching, trying to reach that point. Shouldn't that be where we are as Christians? Stretching to reach that point, spiritually speaking, so I can measure up to God's standards because He has a standard for me in my life. Brother, that's where I need to be. If you're hurting, we want to help you. If you need help to grow, we want to teach you. But if you're a Christian that knows these things and should know better, help yourself fix it. We'll give you the tools to do it. But you've got to be willing to do it yourself. When a burden becomes unbearable, that's when high maintenance is needed from our brethren. But when failure to bear our own burdens, because we have a responsibility, then we become high maintenance, brethren, and we hinder the cause of Christ. I hope today that you're not a high maintenance Christian. But if you are, we want to help you. We want to help you grow. We want to help lift you up, to put that pack back on you and help you get back on your way spiritually speaking. Because we have a responsibility, not only to each other, but more importantly, we have a responsibility to our Lord in heaven to be the best Christians that we can be. And if I don't want to grow, then maybe I have a heart problem. And only the great physician can fix that for you today. We want to pray with you. God wants to forgive you, but you've got to take the responsibility today to fix it. Nobody else can do it for you. I wish I could bear those burdens for you in eternity, but I can't. The Lord won't let me. You've got to do it yourself today. And if you haven't put on Christ in baptism and you want to become a Christian, don't think I'm trying to discourage you from not becoming one today. We want you to grow. We want you to put on Christ in baptism. We want to teach you what it means to be a true child and a true believer in the Lord. And we want you to be able to take those steps in the world to defend the truth faithfully and to stand up for the cause of Christ. That all takes time, and we want to help you to get there. But eventually, we've got to be willing to bear the load ourselves. If you need some type of help today, let us do that as together we stand and as we sing.